advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
What's up, y'all? Oh, banana phone.
I didn't even plan that. I was just...
That looks good, actually.
Snack.
That banana looks fantastic.
It does. It looks like me with jaundice.
Looks impressive. Like...
A little bruised.
A little bruised and curvy.
Like a night... Yeah, it's kind of like a night after Chris Strain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Banana.
Looks like his knees and my jaundiced wiener.
He's got a rainbow beard and you have rainbow hair when you're done.
That rainbow is actually symbolic. I didn't know he was down.
Yeah.
But he spent some time in the studio last night and took care of me. Yeah. That's all I can say, really. Good job,
sir.
Don't
call him Chris Strain for nothing.
Yeah.
He's got hernias all over. He's going hard.
Yeah. He was straining for sure.
Yeah.
The noises he made.
Yeah.
Got hit with the Mandela effect.
What happened?
Fucking Monopoly guy.
What about him?
He doesn't have a monocle, or have a monocle?
No.
He does not have a monocle.
That's bullshit by definition.
So hold on.
What are you, the Monopoly man?
We know the peanut guy has a monocle.
Has a monocle.
Yeah, the Monopoly guy had a fucking, at one point, a monocle. It's
on the, like, the fucking stupid grocery store Monopoly game came out that gave me the game thing, which I don't even know why I do it.
Did you look
never
back,
win
though?
Fucking anything, and it takes forever.
You almost feel like there was a kid that came with a monocle.
Fucking stupid shit, and I have it hanging up on the fridge, and like for the past week, every time I like fix a sandwich, I look at the fucking Monopoly guy like pointing at me and laughing because I'm in a different reality.
Man.
Stupid particle
collider. I'm looking that up right now, because
I know that was one. We might have even talked about that.
I think we did talk about that one, but it really fucked with me. I was like, where's his monocle? Like, forever, I was looking at it, wondering what was, like, it was wrong on a deep level when I was looking at the picture.
Does, like, Scrooge have a monocle? Is there some other rich old man or something that had a monocle that we could...
There's pictures of him with a monocle.
That's what I'm trying to come in with, like, maybe it was a cross association, you know?
Maybe he got LASIK.
No, I don't know. It's showing. There is some pictures showing he has a monocle, but they're like, I don't know. I don't know.
But now, with the internet, it just exists. As soon as you argue it doesn't exist.
Right, right.
It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to give a shout out before I get any further, because we'll forget about him. But Brandon Michael Brown sent us a box of shirts, stickers, koozies, and some other shit, I think, from cageside.com is the website. It's a BJJ place. I was wearing a Strangle Thing shirt, which got a bunch of people, the stewardess on the flight to Kansas City. She's like, oh, wow, I love that show.
You choked
me. Yeah. And thank you, Brandon. We really appreciate it to go there. I'm sure if you're in the group, you can see a shirt I'm wearing. Go to cageside.com. I believe he was in a fight, right? Is that the same guy?
It's a blur, man. I don't remember yesterday.
I don't know. Maybe he was fighting at some point, allegedly. And is that the guy with the logo?
That's not him.
That's a different guy?
Okay, never mind. Person.
Scratch that. Scratch it. All right.
Wow.
Wow. So I do have...
Wow.
Sorry.
I hate me for that, so go ahead.
I know, and you made me do it. Anytime anybody does it, another person does it.
I think you're right.
Yeah. It's like
it's not like three, though.
It's just that another just double, person. Yeah.
It's like a yawn.
It's so like when you throw up in someone else's mouth, they throw up too.
That's
you just can't
true.
Help it.
In your mouth.
Yeah. Throw it back. Yeah. So I have a question from Carmen Leprosy, Lebarsies?
Lebowski.
Lebowski. Carmen Big Lebowski.
Carmen, she got braces?
I think so. Lebarsies? You know how to say it? How do you say that, Dave?
Lebowski.
Okay. She's unemployed. She's a lazy bitch. She asks a simple question. Cum or dung? What do you prefer?
God. At first I was like, well, that's easy. Then I was like, no, it's not.
I need context to finish the question. Yeah.
That was the question. I don't know.
Yeah. What are we doing? Cleaning it up?
I mean, no wonder she doesn't have a job. She doesn't finish her fucking, like, what she starts.
This is no hair for teeth, teeth for hair question. This is rough.
It's a rough question. The parameters are too vague.
Yeah, is it a male? Is it a female?
Is the question, what would I rather have come out of my penis? Because it's not dung.
No, I think it's what do you prefer?
I just
like, I don't know.
In what circumstances?
I don't know. I'm just saying come, like, right away, because it doesn't smell as bad by any means. Might be a little saltier than dung.
I'm gonna say dung because dung beetles. Dung beetles. So like if somebody awesome.
Said in your mouth.
Because dung
in your mouth.
Awesome. Dung beetles are awesome.
By that argument,
cum beetles are not.
You could say that any animal in the animal kingdom is awesome. You're like, lions are awesome. Not hurt. They shit.
Like dung beetles. Like they navigate by like magnetic north in their fucking brain, and they push around elephant dung and build little houses out of them. They're pretty awesome.
In their magnetic brain. Right.
Cum beetles. Sounds like
I think I just learned something I didn't need to know.
Cum beetles are just disgusting.
That's deep, man. That's like there was mushrooms on your dung. Magnetic brains.
Magnetic north brains.
Yep.
Brent.
Oh, you're going to. Oh,
getting
oh
away.
I didn't answer. Yeah.
He answered. I said cum. Dave is dung. And I know you like cum, but is it dung?
Which one's lower carb, man? That's what I didn't know. Oh. Depends on what they ate, I guess, man.
Probably cum. Question. Depends on how many babies are in it.
Man, that is such a bad question. I guess come, honestly. I guess.
Did you say I guess come on his sleeve?
Yeah, on his sleeve. That's what I use to clean
good,
it up.
That's a good question to kick us off. That's a good.
Sure. Is that come on your sleeve?
It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah, so that's that. So now everybody knows that question, and you don't have to ask it for questions.
That age-old chestnut has finally been put to rest.
Yeah. So on to our Sculpt Member of the Month. It's February. It's Mr. Red Koss. Remember, we talked about him. I did a little research. I found out his actual name is actually Redrick Longfellow Stewart Koss III. The name comes from his great grandpappy, who allegedly has Billy the Kid's chili recipe. That's that guy.
Oh, it's the guy.
That guy. Yeah.
He's in what a small world.
Yeah. That's his grandpappy.
Wow.
Well, I wasn't judging him if I ever said anything bad. It was just a strange character. And that was a crazy allegation or a crazy, not an allegation.
My voice sounds crazy today. Like it's
it
a little,
does.
Like,
it sounds crazy. Little, it sounds like the guy from Password.
What is it?
The password is.
What is that?
What's the password? Dung.
So if you want to be a Sculpt Member of the Month, thank you, Mr. Red Koss. Post, comment, ask, tag. Every month I'll pick one and you'll just
ask tag.
That's right. Similar to ass to mouth.
It's like a hashtag, but
it's an ass tag.
There's buttholes involved. See?
You're leaning back towards dung.
Yeah, you are, I have to say.
I'm done talking about that. I'm not talking about it anymore.
Jesus Christ. The only thing, the reason I get mad.
Nothing like a dumb pun. You know?
When you make puns, I get angry when I laugh at them. Jesus Christ. That was so fucking stupid.
It was so stupid. You have to laugh.
And like, and
as I shake dumb, my head like just.
As dumb as the pun is, if you laugh at it, you're even more dumb than the pun itself.
Oh, man. Yeah. Did you say you're dumber?
Yeah.
Dumbest.
For having dumbest.
It's like movies are so bad they're good. You know?
Right. Yeah.
My sense of humor is
so Kansas City. So we went to Kansas City. We hung out with a bunch of fucking weird Midwestern fucking oatmeal having wagon wheel fucking pushing oxen fucking using to make some field.
They all ran
turn
around.
Things
they had little house on the prairie dresses. They're all in one big white van. It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like one group showed up in a big white van.
Yeah.
They all jumped out.
A lot of sister wives.
Sister wives. No, it was the Amish. They're all Amish.
Mm-hmm.
So I had fucking beards with no mustaches. Fucking really weird. But we did meet a nice Amish couple.
What's holding their beard up? They don't have a mustache. How does it not just fall down?
Doesn't
turtles all the way down.
Yeah. Mustache is the suspenders of your face.
Yeah. You're fucking stupid.
No, that wasn't a pun. That was just awesomeness.
You can quote me on that, man. Whatever year it is right now, I don't know, man, because I'm Dory, but you fucking put that after that.
You forgot that.
I see a meme. I see a meme coming.
That might make it on the the quotes. It's like all we're trying to do now is just get who can get what quote out.
That's our goal.
Yeah. So we met a nice Amish couple, Sean and Devin Smith, who weren't on social media. We never heard of them. They actually don't have phones or computers because they are Amish. I mean, of course. But they rolled into town in their fucking wagon.
I had never ridden in a wagon before.
I hadn't either. Little hay in the back. Yeah. It was nice. Actually kind of comfy.
Leather seat, though. It was nice. It was tuck and rolled. Really well done. It was like a hot rod.
Yeah, it had
tooled, sex with a wagon.
Yeah, it had tooled flames on the seat even. Yeah, it was really
interesting. I have a very hard time believing any of this.
But they actually gave us a ride. We met them at...
It's Amish are so suppressed, that's the only way they can express themselves. It's through tooled leather flame seats.
Yeah.
They all have really extravagant back seats.
Yeah. Not front ones, though. They can't show anybody.
Yeah, not the front.
You have to keep them covered. So they gave us a ride from... We went to Big Rip Brewing Company, met up with some other podcasts. Ectoplasm, CHM, Chim, whatever that is. Hysteria 51. What's the romance? God.
Who was that?
What's that?
I saw that on the flyer, but I don't know who was that person that I met then that was from that. That was never said to me. Just the Worst Podcast, Breakers Podcast.
Breakers, yeah. It was one of the guys.
I was starstruck. That was the thing. I went thinking that.
I don't remember. My hands were shaking.
My hand, and I got excited.
Shaking. Yeah.
My palms are sweaty.
So they gave us right from there. Yeah, they kicked us out. Literally.
Palms are sweaty. Goat spaghetti.
Goat spaghetti. Yeah, and that was there too. Also, yeah. Goat spaghetti. Gina Corbett from, what was her, Life in the Woods? What's her podcast?
In the Woods, Me in the Woods.
Me in the Woods. Meet Me in the Woods.
You guys, Meet Me in the Woods.
And she gave us rabbit pelts. We have real rabbit pelts.
Legit opened my backpack and it smelled like rabbit carcass. I was like, God damn, I hope this washes out of my clothes.
We got back. We did get them back to the airport.
I thought they were going to fuck with us at the airport for sure.
She had goat spaghetti. She had fucking donkey sausage. That was before she came, though. And what else did she have? She had some other fucking...
She had rabbit stew.
Rabbit stew.
A fucking taser that she pulled out and crackled 2 inches from my fucking ear on accident.
I heard that. If she wanted you, she could have bagged
She could have had me.
She could have fucking... She could have Sasha Cohen'd you. Yeah, fucking...
Next meetup, it would have been Brent Skins. Yeah, that was a close one.
So they took us from... We left there. That place closed down at like 10. And if you're ever in Kansas City, I don't know why you would be there, but if you're there, the Big Rip Brewery actually had some really good beers. Like, I don't drink beer all that often. But those were good. I had three beers and I was pretty buzzed. I went up to the bar
and like there were their beers. That's a brewery. It's like some shit you never heard of. So you don't know what to get, but they had things that were like chai brown ale. And I was like, I had the Velvet Elvis. And then like Velvet Elvis and like Zelda vanilla something. And I was like, well, it says Zelda, but then it says vanilla. I don't want this shit. And I was like, I told the bartender, the girl was like, what can I get for it? I was like, I don't help me out here. Honestly, what I don't want is a fucking umbrella in my drink. And this shit's all like velvet, vanilla, chai, you know, all this shit. And she's like, here, try this. And she goes back to a tap and the tap labels are just like fucking these little label makers. You couldn't read it. She puts something in a glass for a sampler and gives it to me. I toss it back. I was like, damn, that's really good. What's it called? She's all, umbrella. And I was like, what the fuck is the chance of that shit? And then she just smiled and said $5.75 and I handed her fucking 20. I was like, you win. So, well played.
I don't want an umbrella in my drink. No, your drink is the umbrella.
She literally gave me a beer called Umbrella.
You got
and inceptioned. It was good. That was fucking cool.
So they actually actually told us the next place to go to is Grinders. It's a little spot, another little bar, and they had pizza and food and stuff, and it was actually good. I ate a whole pizza myself. I was hungry.
Our waitress used to work in the circus or something. Yeah, she was skilled as fuck.
And she was fucking pissed off at first. Like, I tried to joke with her, like, to make her laugh, and she was not fucking happy.
Oh, I didn't see that go down.
Dude, she fucking was not having it.
She's a badass waitress, dude. She's just dealing with it. Yeah. Like, it was impressive.
She's like, I'm sorry. I had a bad day. And I was like, oh, it's all right. So we ended up cheering her up. She was smiling at the end of the night. So,
yeah, she was.
Yeah. So they took us, we hung out at Grinders and then about two, three in the morning. Yeah. Took us back to our hotel in the wagon. It was about 2 miles.
Bumpy.
Took us 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But they got us back. So, and Sean at this point was so drunk, He's, oh my God, I can't believe the Sofa King's actually in my car right now. He's like, you know, I've been listening. Yeah, my wagon. Yeah. They call it a car though.
Yeah.
They call it a car. Yeah. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, me and you are so alike, Brad. You know, I listen to the hip hops. I got the Jordans on. You know what I'm saying? I got, you know, this and that. And that accent's almost identical.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Literally, I thought you recorded
it. Yeah. And,
I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah, and so he's so excited, and he's drunk, and he's like, ah, man, why don't you rape my wife and Brent rub peanut butter on her asshole? So
you guys think Brad's making this up?
And I just was like, yeah, you think I'm making this up? And I was just like, whoa, this motherfucker's crazy. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. But I'm just glad Brent put the peanut butter on after I raped her.
Yeah, it was a lot smoother. It looked dry. Yeah. That's why I did the peanut butter thing.
So, yeah, that was the trip. And then we woke up in the morning and took an Uber home where we learned a fantastic
one of those statements doesn't belong. There is some serious truth to that story. And
there
you have
is.
To figure out if it's wagons, peanut butter, or sex. And it's a difficult question.
It's the crazier thing.
Yeah, it's the crazier thing. You think that one of those things is a lie. One thing is true.
This is a mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing is true.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the easiest part to figure out either. So it's good. But we got Uber ride back to the airport where we had the fucking baddest ass fucking Uber driver. Like
he
this
was
old
cool.
dude.
He was just ready to lay down stories.
Yeah. He was retired and like, yeah, no, I guess he like felt us out for a minute. And then he just gives us this fucking incest joke. And we were just like, all right, like this is fucking. Sister's giving her brother a blowjob, right?
And then we broke out laughing. We're like, yeah, joke's over.
Yeah, that's
he
it.
Said a Kansas City, yeah, someone from Kansas City. It was an Arkansas joke.
That was what
it was. It was an Arkansas joke. He's like, so I got an Arkansas joke for you. A sister's giving her brother a blowjob, and then we just broke out laughing.
We're like, that's it. We're like, stop,
stop,
fucking stop,
fuck
right
it
there.
Up.
It's over right there. That's fucking it. That's the punchline. Yeah, it's fucking great. What was it though? He said, "Man, you give really good blowjobs," and she said, "That's what Daddy said." So
no,
yeah,
it was something more like the mom walked in and said, "You're doing it wrong."
No, it was that's what.
No, it was some other family member walked in and was like, "Your mom walked in and said you're doing that wrong," and the dad was like, "I thought it was just fine." It was some shit like that. No, there was four family members involved. I'm gonna look it up right now. You keep talking. We're at 15 minutes.
No, he said, "You give blowjobs just like mom," and then she said, "That's what Daddy said."
There you go.
Yeah,
I told you there's two more family members.
I don't know. It was funnier when they stopped in the middle.
I liked it.
That's why we said.
Yeah.
That's the easy part of the joke.
Yeah.
It's not confusing.
I can remember that. Yeah.
So this girl's giving her brother
like
a blowjob.
I like that we just butchered the most fucking simplest joke ever. So that was the trip pretty much in a nutshell. I mean,
thank you to Sam Culper for your hospitality.
Thank you for sending us to a room. Yeah, so we actually got to the hotel. And
that was funny.
Sam's like, "Hey, everything's made. Like somebody stayed in your room the night before because it was like a two night minimum.
Yeah.
And we were just keeping it for the night because we were flying back out in the morning. He's like, "Hey, everything's done. Like there should be champagne in there, rose petals. Like everything's good to go." And we're like, "Okay, well, champagne, rose petals."
Here's
whatever.
The thing. I thought he's joking about champagne because when I said, "Hey, we're landing at this time," he said, "We'll send a car." And I was like, ha ha, like we're getting a taxi. So then we get there. I was like, "Hey, we landed." He's like, "Okay, almost there to pick you up." I was like, "What? You don't have to do that. I told you I'd send a car." And so they picked us up. But then he says there's champagne and rose petals in the room. And I was like half thinking like, this motherfucker
maybe
is like rolling out
the spot. Yeah.
He might be doing it.
Yeah. And so we walk in and I'm the first one in the room. I get in the room and I fucking turn the corner like into where the beds are. There's two beds. We're just chilling in the same room. And fucking the beds turned out, dude. Like somebody just got out of it. Like, there's a fucking towel on the shower that had been used. Like there's still shit in there. There's stuff on the floor.
I told Sam, I was like, "Damn, did you smash in here all night? What's going on, buddy? This is part of your joke." And he was just pissed.
Yeah, he was mad. He got fucking mad because they were supposed to come and clean the room. He told them to come and clean the room. Like
there was literally a big ass door tag thing on the middle of the bed that said, "Please change these linens."
Yeah.
And he told him once and reminded him, and then we showed up to a smash room.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So he was fucking pissed.
I put marks on the fucking bed sheets with a pin so I could make sure that they didn't just make the bed because they're like half-assing it. I grabbed the little pin and I fucking drew on all the pillowcases and the fucking thing. We're going to get a fucking credit card receipt.
Yeah. It's on his anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's all right.
They don't have our credit card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kansas City was pretty fun. There was interesting people. Jenna Corba had zipper face on when we saw her.
She did.
So who won the hot sack for the week?
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that. Zach Kirby, you have passed the statute of limitations and you made beef stew when I was so busy that I forgot to post a fucking hot sack post, and you got some engagement. So we're going with that.
I saw it. Didn't he ask?
He said, "What do you? What kind of soup are you making, or how are you making?"
But didn't he say, "Are you not?" Somebody made something to this. That are you not doing a post this week and posted a picture of something?
I tried to jump back on social media and get all caught up and shit, and I just couldn't.
It was rough.
Yeah, I was done. So Zach Kirby, you're gonna get something.
Congratulations, Zach.
Yeah. Other than STDs.
That's other than. So today's topic is Brother Malcolm.
Damn, you guys Brother are on that Malcolm. Level?
That's right.
He's way blacker than you.
Actually, he's here's the thing. He's in a much, much, much higher tier of blackness than I am. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I could do to ever reach the tier of blackness that Malcolm X was in. But biologically, we're pretty much equally black.
Yeah, he's deep water.
He's as high yellow as I am. He's the same height roughly that I am. And he had red hair.
He did have red hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They call him Detroit Red.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad Denzel.
But he's a billion times blacker than I will ever be.
I was going to say, I'm glad Denzel played him, though, so there's no confusion. I can't accidentally be racist and say that, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. was great in that movie. All white people think every movie was Denzel or Morgan Freeman.
When I sat down to do the research, like, I was very surprised because I kind of knew all of it.
I kind of felt that way.
That was fucking arrogant.
No, it was really, like, I was just, like, everything I read, which has never happened to me when I'm researching stuff. And I'm like, at what point did I, like, when I was in college, did I like fucking spaz out and just like read everything about Malcolm X? Cause everything I read, I was like, oh, that's right. Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right.
I felt that way only because I watched the 3-hour and 28-minute fucking Denzel movie and it was good and it was thorough and all these little things are in that fucking movie. I was like, wow, they covered all of this shit.
Well, it's also like the autobiography of Malcolm X is very thorough,
right?
About his life and his upbringing, and that was what Spike
had the details
to base the script on.
It actually kind of looks like him.
It's actually kind of, because I remember when the movie was getting made, Spike like the studio basically, because he was making the movie so long and he was doing all this stuff, and the studio said, "You're out of money. We're not funding you anymore." And it was like a big fucking deal because he didn't have enough money to finish the movie.
Like, fuck it, I'll pay for it?
Well, no, actually Prince and Public Enemy said, fuck it, we'll pay for it.
Oh, wow.
And they paid for the rest of the filming, and then they got paid back once because it was like Oscar winner, like huge movie when it came out. And then like part of the deal was they each did the next two Spike Lee movies. One Public Enemy did the soundtrack for and one Prince did the soundtrack.
I'm surprised they didn't have cameos or something cool because of that, you know?
Yeah.
They might not have wanted to.
Yeah, they didn't want to. But so Malcolm X, a very, very interesting guy. It's like a lot of the stuff that he said, like I listened to a lot of footage of him. I watched a lot of interviews. I listened to a lot of the stuff he was saying, and a lot of stuff that he said, I do like believe. A lot of the stuff I was like, oh, right on. Like, that's a fucking good sentiment, but there's just a whole lot of
white people are the devil.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole lot of stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. But there's a whole lot of stuff that he said. I was like,
I hate myself after this.
Not so sure about
the whole
that.
Time. Like, I was like, blonde hair, blue eyed devil. I was like, he's fucking right. All these old rich white men. He's fucking right.
But he's a very interesting guy. I mean, he's especially interesting because, I mean, he's, when you think about civil rights and you think about like all the black rights that happened in the 1960s, I mean, obviously the go-to is everyone thinks of Martin Luther King. You think of peaceful protests. Mm-hmm. You think about Alabama bus boycott. Mm-hmm. You think about all this stuff. And Malcolm X was just like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, that's some weak shit. Like, we need violence.
He called him a chump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't see
friends.
Eye to eye.
No, they weren't friends.
No, they were not.
They
friends.
Met well, one they had, time long enough to take a picture.
Yeah.
And that was after Malcolm had changed.
Kind of flipped
that
the switch and said,
end of his life.
After he went to Africa and saw that there was blonde hair, blue eyed Muslims. Yeah.
Right. Right. So Malcolm X, he's born in, I didn't know much about his childhood. I will say that the childhood stuff was really kind of eye opening to me. So he was born back in the day, 1925 in Omaha, Nebraska. And he was born Malcolm Little. That was his birth name. But if you watch any interview with him at any point in his adulthood where they try to say, what's your real name? Your name isn't Malcolm X. He was like, my name is Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Like, he would, and they would try to put like, well, what was your father's last name? And he was like, my father's last name was Lost because the white man stole him from Africa. It was just like, he refused to answer the question.
Pretty cool X. Like, that just sounds so fucking cool. Like, that was such a good pick.
Yeah. It was a really good pick. But I couldn't get away with Dave X, I don't think.
Chicken. Dave X. Sounds good to
Pick
me.
Pick a stupid letter like L.
Or M.
Yeah.
Dave M.
Yeah, Dave M. There you go. Yeah. I like it.
That works.
Sounds
actually.
Familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, there's meaning behind it.
That's right.
Dave M.
But so his parents, his mom was a homemaker and his father was a preacher. And he was big in civil rights movement and the whole sort of peaceful Christian, like, you know, we need to, you know, and early on, I mean, this is well before Martin Luther King. I mean, this was like in the 1920s, 1930s that his dad was doing this. And of course it didn't go over well. And he was, they were always butting heads with white supremacist groups.
I thought his mom actually had some kind of like job that was kind of impressive for a black woman of that time. I thought she did something else, not just a homemaker. Like,
yeah, I didn't read anything about that.
Branch reporter, secretary of branch reporter or something.
I don't know.
That might've been later.
Maybe.
Because when he was little, well, they had, his father had 9 children.
Yeah.
And he was the 7th one. And his mother had 4 children. His father had a previous marriage. Old Reverend was out there. So Earl Little was his dad, the Baptist minister. It said organizer. He was for the Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association.
Yes.
A separatist back to Africa group in the 1920s.
Yeah.
So like, well, I didn't even understand that. Like they, I mean, segregation was so fucking bad. I would have not wanted to live.
Fuck no.
During that time. Mm-mm. Like you just see the shit that goes on. Like, and I'm thinking like as a white person, like just if you grew up in that, you're probably going to be like hating on black people. You know what I mean? Depending on where you grew up at.
You would if you didn't know. Your
yeah. You didn't know. Yeah. You're just taught.
It's like literally can't shop at this grocery store. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's going to be $100 kind of thing.
And right, looking like, back on that from where I'm at now, like you see that and you're like, man, I would just be, that's fucking, you're just an asshole.
Even if you like made your saving throw and like, sorry, D&D reference, and made like got away from it, even if you were like a white person in that era, in that region.
And there were those.
Right. And you knew like this is fucked up, et cetera. Like the social pressures that would be on you to comply with that mindset and not speak your mind would have been immense.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you would have, like you wouldn't have been comfortable or especially free to call these people out and say, this is bullshit. And
it's like the Stanford prison experiment psychology. Like, you would have just caved. You would have done it in front of everyone at least.
Right. Right.
So he was from Lansing, Michigan, right? So
eventually they ended up moving because he was born in Omaha.
Yeah.
But they drifted around and he ended up. So the KKK and a splinter faction of the KKK. Ironically,
they took his baby away too.
Ironically named the Black Legion. Who Ooh. Took his? Who
the
took
KKK. His? That's one of those KKK you guys don't get.
KKK took his kinda, baby away.
Yeah, supposed to just mow over that one.
That one.
Yeah. You're right about the didn't get it part.
Ooh,
but they got
Malcolm's baby goodbye.
Oops, sorry.
I have no idea what's happening right now.
It's a Beach Boys song. You never heard that one?
Yeah, it was by the Beach Boys.
They were known for their racism.
Fun till the KKK took Malcolm's baby away.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that.
Fun till the baby took my
KKK took my baby away.
So the Black Legion came around and like he tells stories of like when he was a kid, they would like the KKK would roll up with fucking shotguns and threaten them. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, nothing
the KKK was
happened.
Like really similar to Cypress Hill.
In the movie, at least they like, depict them throwing people. Like flaming bricks and shit through the window, though.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, but when you roll up like and surround the house with shotguns, but then like no one dies, that's kind of,
that's just a strong statement.
Yeah. That's because they're
very strong statement. Yeah.
I like that the Black Legion though was actually the name of a racist white group.
Yeah.
That's how fucking stupid those dudes are.
Well, I mean,
they made the coolest black sounding name. Yeah. It's like a black army. Like we're the Black Legion.
I hate black guys. Hold on. Could I get away with like that being my rap name?
Absolutely.
Black Legion.
Fuck yeah.
Because I'm white. Like it would just go along with it.
Yep.
But then, I don't know. I might get some slack on that one.
Well, probably, yeah.
Probably.
Did I say slack? Flack.
Flack. Well, tell them that someone who's biologically as black as Malcolm X supports it.
Okay.
He's got to finish your tattoos.
You'll be covered.
Do the other arm.
After this, they ended up moving around. They moved to Milwaukee, and then they finally moved to Lansing, Michigan, which is where they spent a good chunk of their time. And even once they got there, I mean, still, Earl Little didn't shut his mouth. He kept, like, preaching what he was preaching and pissing off white supremacists wherever he went. And then even when they got to Lansing, the KKK showed up and burned his house down. And Malcolm X remembered that once they lit the house on fire, the police and the firemen came and just fucking sat there and watched. Like, yeah, they weren't going to fucking, because they were, I mean, it's the same fucking people, realistically. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's where that, the roof's on fire, let this motherfucker burn. That's where it came from.
That's where it came from, yeah.
But that was exactly where it came
from. Yeah.
That's where
it came from. I thought it was cool, yeah.
Yeah.
That it came from there.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. Did you know that, Brent?
Mm-hmm.
That song came from there, from that.
But that's where it came from.
I came just from watching it.
No, dumb.
Come. For first come.
Team Dung.
You should not have said that. You fucking. Now we got Team Come and Team Dung. Fucking. Oh, God. One statement just changes the whole fucking thing.
Dave is wearing his human It's What's for Donner shirt for the record. Yeah. I can't remember who gave that to us, but it was in Chicago.
Couple, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they got married like right after that. Yeah. They gave us those shirts and then he went and proposed on a balcony.
We have to remember names better. We're like horrible
with names.
I am horrible with names anyway. I literally told somebody there, like, I'm gonna forget your name like in like 10 minutes. I'll remember you. Oh, Sam's wife, sadly enough. I said, I forgot your name. So
because we remember it now.
Yeah, I remember it now.
I like
she's the super cool
villain laugh.
She is like super fucking cool though.
Yeah her name is Sam's wife.
Mm-hmm. She seemed so quiet and I was embarrassed and like I was like, dude, God, we're horribly offensive. The things that are coming out of our mouth, and she's just quietly sitting there, mm-hmm. and then she would just fucking jump in and fucking spin off the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's way pretty funnier good. Than Sam.
Don't you mean the things that were dunging out of your mouth?
No. Mm-mm. No. I don't mean that.
Hashtag team come.
It's all about the Beatles. I just want to see a picture of the cum Beatles.
That's actually why the Beatles got their name. They were team dung.
Yeah, they were. Team dung, the Beatles.
God. Cut to, by the time all this goes down, the racism, they end up running from the Klan. And then in 1931, 2 years after the hearse burns down.
House.
The burning damn hearse. That's the white trash word for house. It burned my hearse. Took my gerb.
His dad died in 1931.
He's getting so fucked today, man. It's so easy.
So, Reverend Little died in 1931. That's when the family begins to dissolve. The mom gets put into a mental hospital, just from having a nervous breakdown. The stress, I guess.
Well, then
you all right over there? Holy shit.
The insurance company denies their claims and just says it's fucking suicide or some shit and don't pay them. They end up getting $18 a month from the insurance company, which is the equivalent of like a total of $16,000 for dad's death by the time the policy paid out. Yeah.
And basically, so they found his body on the railroad tracks. And like all indication was that he was murdered.
That part of the movie is horrifying for the record. They just show his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I've seen that in real life.
They didn't pursue it. They didn't look into it. The police just said, nope, it was a suicide. And they moved on.
Yeah.
And then, so his mom went insane, spent 26 years in a mental institution. Jeez. But before she went insane, like it wasn't, from what I read in another piece, it wasn't like, he died, she went insane. Because other bad shit happened.
She had a serious relationship
with somebody that everybody thought they were going to get married. And then as soon as he got her pregnant, he bailed.
Oh.
And then that was when she finally snapped. Yeah, exactly. So that was when she snapped and went to the mental institution. Yeah.
So he was sent to a detention, Michigan State Detention Home.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bound for reform school, it said. So, but he was stuck with a white couple. Like they kept him there.
Mm-hmm. They said he was more like a pink poodle or a toy or something.
A pet canary. or a pet canary. Yeah.
How fucking to be compared
like,
to that?
Look at our little black kid. Come check him out. Like,
That's horrible. But apparently they did something though, because he turned around.
Sure.
I mean, you know, because he got sent there because he was basically being an asshole. You know.
Well, he went back and forth though, because he gets turned around. He does really well in high school.
Yeah, right.
And then he ends up moving to the East Coast with his sister. They moved to Boston. And at this point, and for a while he lived in Flint, Michigan. But when he was in Flint and Boston and New York is when he really got bad and he started.
Well, he excelled in school. He was like top student, but his teacher told him,
oh, that's
you
right.
have the line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not allowed to say the line, but he basically told him you should just be a carpenter. Because
I think you can, if it's a quote. Is that a quote?
No, Dave can say it. I'm not doing it.
I don't know.
No, not a carpenter. It's a lawyer.
He wants to be a lawyer, but he said that's not a realistic goal.
Right.
Yeah.
For the River Niger.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he wanted to be a lawyer. And one of his high school teachers says that's not a realistic goal for a nigger. He says one of life's first needs is for us to be realistic. You need to think of something you can be. Why don't you plan on carpentry?
Which, racist as fuck, it might have been accurate at that time period or something. They wasn't going to be able to attain that goal. But you shouldn't tell a fucking kid that. You need to give them every hope and dream that they fucking
right,
have.
Right, exactly.
Because it basically makes him think like, well, then
I think if it was a nice gesture, he would have said that's not a realistic goal for a black kid.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But I think the other word at that point in time, that was probably socially acceptable. You know what I mean? They just fucking said that.
I think it was still offensive.
Yeah, it was pretty offensive.
I mean, it's I think it was like nobody got in trouble for saying it, but it was still offensive.
Yeah, by socially acceptable, I don't mean that's acceptable in any fucking way. I just mean white
in your
people
life,
said that shit.
Now that's acceptable, but it wasn't back then.
Right.
Only when my grandma says it, but she passed, so that's it. It died with her.
The generation's gone.
Yeah, that's over with.
So yeah, so he ends up moving between, like I said, between Flint, Michigan, complete shithole. That's where half of my family is from. Boston, complete shithole. New York City, complete shithole. Yeah. I'm just going to call all of them shitholes. And everybody from Boston and New York can get pissed.
I thought it was funny that because he moves in with his half-sister, Ella, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like kind of upper class, kind of like, and trying to get him out of like dating black girls and this and that. Right. Tries to get him to date a white girl. And I believe he does it's funny that he ropes the white girl into robbing and stuff.
Yeah.
Later on.
So he starts drug
couple
dealing.
Him and his other buddy.
Yeah, like
couple
another buddy.
Yeah.
They start drug dealing. They start robbing, doing racketeering. They're pimping. Like he's
with the white girls.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, yeah.
And he's a little gigolo a little bit. He was having sex with men for money, allegedly, at some point in time. Sometimes he got paid for it. So it sounded like he might
have showed up like much more recently, like historians recently uncovered that.
And it could have just been allegations. It could be stories.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Smear campaign.
One thing that I thought was interesting is just like, I'm always curious how these people overlap, because whenever we look at anyone historically, because at this point when he's hanging out in New York and doing all this stuff, he basically becomes friends with a comedian, and the comedian ends up changing his name to Red Fox, and he's like Sanford and Son, like huge, you know, huge comedian in the 60s and 70s, black comedian, but they knew each other before either
of them
or anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was him? Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, that was Red.
That's crazy.
What you talking about, sucker?
Yep.
He was a dishwasher or something. Like, together they were like dishwashers at like a chicken restaurant or some shit. Yeah,
at the chicken restaurant. Church
Jimmy's
chicken.
Chicken Shack in Harlem.
Okay. Ooh.
Chicago Red. And then he was Chicago Red, Red Fox was, and then Malcolm X was Detroit Red.
In Harlem.
In Harlem, yeah.
Detroit Red.
So I would have. Oh fuck! I was gonna say I couldn't.
You can't be Detroit Red.
Fuck! I guess I'll be Battle Creek Red.
Maybe Cali Red.
Kid
now.
Nugget. Here. Fucking quit trying to make. That's the thing about black people, man. They make fucking cool ass names like Fuzzy and Kid Nugget. Me and Brad can't do that. I'm trying to make up some names. No one is following suit on that shit. But you know why? Because I say things like following suit. I was white as fuck. No one's following suit on that nickname. I'm gonna be called Laser from now on.
I would like you to Laser? Follow.
In the grand scheme of things,
yeah,
I'm going to call myself Detroit Red.
It doesn't work.
I would appreciate it if you would all follow suit. Please and thank you indeed, sir.
Exactly.
So, and you're welcome.
Yeah.
So Chicago Red and Detroit Red. And then even, it was a little bit later, but he even became friends with Muhammad Ali, with Cassius Clay, which is the reason he found
changed it to Muhammad Ali.
Changed to Muhammad Ali. So he knew a lot of these people like before any of them were big.
Very influential.
Yeah.
So that's his kind of his childhood pretty much until he gets into his early 20s-ish. Right. Yeah.
And this was in the 40s. This is in the 1940s. And I even read one thing that he got called up by the draft board to go into World War II. And when the draft board was interviewing him, he said in his autobiography that he was mentally disqualified for military service because he said that when they asked him if he would join the army, he said, "Oh yeah, I'll join the army." And then he said that he was going to
quote, white body,
organize them nigger soldiers, steal us some guns, and kill some crackers. So
that's how I got out of jury duty.
They just said, "No, thank you."
This is the one. This is like this is the one thing that kind of is weird about history, because like we idolize all these people in history, and a lot of them skipped out on serving in the military for our country. You know what I mean? Kind of weird.
Yeah.
And not that like he did some great things, but like, that's one thing I don't respect about a lot of great people in history, because
well, he was
that's what happened.
Absolute like, segregation though. He thought that everyone should go back to Africa and create like a better country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So obviously he's not going to go fight for the blue eyed.
I understand
devil,
that. Yeah. And he's fine, but then he gets idolized by a ton of people today for what he did. And he did a lot for the black community. I'm not saying that, but
and he's a, he's a strange figure from history. Cause like I said, like a lot of the stuff that he said, I'm like down with, and a lot of the stuff that he didn't said, I'm like, oof.
Yeah. No, he
but
has,
even at the time, he wasn't the polarizing leader that Martin Luther King was. So many black people were like, this guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like there's,
well, cause
no
he
way.
Was like, you'd have to be, but he has great quotes. I mean, there's one: be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hands on you, send them to the cemetery.
Yeah.
Like that's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite Malcolm X quotes. Like he's I feel like that's that represents me well.
And he's just, I mean.
Well, he's eccentric.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's extreme. But at the same time, it doesn't not make him a genius.
No.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing as Tesla or something. Motherfucker can make wireless electricity and change the world, but he was in love with a pigeon. You know what I mean? So like the one doesn't negate the other. It just exists.
Like I said, I watched
together.
A ton of speeches and a ton, actually not even speeches. I watched, there's a ton of, he was on a lot of interviews. So there's a lot of sit downs, a lot of people interviewing him. And I become really fascinated watching him because he's such a fucking amazing speaker. And I couldn't help but constantly something about his cadence, his delivery, his pronunciation is very much like Barack Obama.
I was just gonna say, like, that's because it's his dad.
That's right. That's the conspiracy. It really is. Like when you watch it, you can't help.
Yeah.
But just the way he speaks, the delivery, the pauses, like it's like Obama was doing an impression of him the whole time or something. That's true. But just incredibly well. I mean, just such a good orator, et cetera. Again, not quite as good as Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King would give those speeches that would like fucking change the world. But when Malcolm X would talk, you kind of have to listen. Like this motherfucker like puts words together. And I mean, I would say though,
like I said, I was just looking over Malcolm X quotes. Like if you take the snippets from his speeches and sayings and all that stuff, they're fucking amazing.
Oh yeah.
Like I almost put him on the same or a higher level than Martin Luther King.
Right.
If you take the snippets, like the overall message might be fucking little crazy.
Yeah.
But the snippets of the quotes are just, they're amazing. Like they're motivational. They're true.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're just second to none.
Yeah.
So it's pretty,
and I think another,
crazy.
Another problem I think with Malcolm X, and I'm sure we'll get there, is I think another big problem with his message and what he was advocating is I don't think it was coming from a pure place, even for Malcolm X. He was being manipulated
from the beginning,
Elijah Muhammad,
from the beginning,
by the Nation of Islam. Like he was being used very effectively to help.
I think it was perfect because he had such a rough upbringing and the setting. It was perfect. You know, you get this guy who's fucking angry at everybody, at the whites because of what happened to him because of his father.
Yep.
You know, and you can just utilize this guy and send him these messages and feed him this information that you want him to have.
And I think
give
if
him
he,
power,
I mean, and it's, I mean, it's a contradiction. He wouldn't have reached that place of confidence and prominence if it wasn't for Elijah Muhammad. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, I just didn't feel like his message was true to himself. I think Martin Luther King really shone because his message was 100% genuine, coming from the bottom of his heart. But I don't think Malcolm even quite knew what his message was.
The other thing too, though, I mean, there's a lot of confusion there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, he probably fought with, you know, what he wanted to come out and what was true to him and what he had
to do
for the Nation of Islam.
Martin Luther King wasn't bound by anything. He was the guy.
Well, and I was going to say though, too, if you look at history, like say Islam was ruling right now in America, it'd be a totally different story. Malcolm X would be way higher on the scale than Martin Luther King.
Right.
You know what I mean? so it's just you
based
know,
on the environment, winners right history of the time.
Yeah, yeah, winners right history. You know what I mean? And we know that. So,
but I mean, in the early '60s, though, when he was really hitting prominence, it's not like Martin Luther King was the guy yet. He was just some fucking preacher.
When
in
I say the
Alabama,
guy, I just mean he's speaking like, on behalf of himself, and he's not bound by the restrictions of a religion necessarily.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
He can express his ideology in his own words and feel free to do so, especially when it's peaceful, because who's going to stop being true. So nice and want everyone to have the same thing.
The peacefulness is what put Martin Luther King above.
Where Malcolm X is polarizing because he's picking sides and he's calling for violence, and there's something to argue there. Whether it was right or wrong, it may have worked.
And there's he has a quote on here too. It says, "I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who it's for or against."
Right.
Not a lot of people can get behind that because they're, if against me, that doesn't work. You know what I mean? So like, you know, those things that he felt and those things that he projected, there are a lot less people that can actually get behind that.
Right.
Because, they're not going to accept it. You know what I mean? Whether it's right or wrong, I feel like that quote is right on. It's fucking spot on. Yeah. But a lot of people won't do that.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
Like, no, we want freedom. We want freedom. But you can't do that.
Right, exactly.
You can't fucking do that over there. Right. Oh, you want abortion? Nope, you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really? I thought we were free here. Yeah. Like, what's happening?
Right.
You know? And that's a fucking cornerstone of how America is today and why it's so polarized.
Yeah.
So
he, in 1946, when he's in his street thug days, he gets arrested. And he gets arrested. I thought it was weird. He gets arrested because a watch that he stole on a breaking and entering from someone's house, he took to a shop to get repaired. And when he went to pick up the watch, he got pinched.
Yeah.
Classic mistake.
I'm guessing the person who was repairing the watch was like, "Oh, that's Earl's watch." Yeah. Like, you motherfucker.
Or too nice of a watch for that dude wearing the big red hat with a feather. Yeah. Or some shit. Like,
so, yeah. But when he went to pick it up, he got pinched and he ended up doing 10
Sheriff
years.
Sheriff Negro brung me a watch. Yeah. I don't even think he can read time.
Them Negroes don't know time.
He don't know the alphabet.
So he does 10 years in jail, and this is when his life really changes. He reads constantly when he's in jail.
John Bembry.
What's that?
You met that guy, John Bembry, I think it was. Yeah.
And John Bembry was, again, really well-spoken, really eloquent, a big reader. And that was when, according to his autobiography, Malcolm X said, "This was the first time I saw a black man who could just command everyone by the power of his words."
Right.
And he became obsessed with reading and with studying oration and with learning how to speak. And like,
yeah, if he had been released from prison, he might have been Malcolm X. You know what I mean? Like, he was his major influence.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and during this time, he ends up falling in with a small group called the Nation of Islam. And I do want to clarify that especially like in California, like in Michigan, everyone back there knew what the Nation of Islam was. And once I moved to California and when Malcolm X is coming out and everything, everybody was like, they didn't really understand what the Nation of Islam was. And I think if you don't live in America, if you're listening to this outside of the States, you might have absolutely no idea what the Nation of Islam is. But the Nation of Islam is an African-American Islamic church that has very strong racial ideologies, and this is who sort of recruited him. And when he gets recruited by Elijah Muhammad, who was the head of the church at the time, until his death. And it was only 400 members.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. It was small. Yeah.
400 members in the church when he joins. So, I mean,
I was impressed. He wrote a letter to Elijah Muhammad and I was like, damn, that dude wrote him back. But then I was like, oh wait, there was only 400 members at that time.
But it's just, I mean, it's a church.
Like, we still talk to our fans right now,
but I mean, it's just a small church. It's like, it's not a huge national organization or anything.
Right.
It's just a small church. And Elijah Muhammad is the one who's in charge of it. It's basically just a single mosque that they worship in. And I mean, they do follow the Quran and all that stuff, but there's a definite,
it's more about like self-empowerment and like black, like self-reliance, like for them to enable themselves, like stop taking that fucking maid job, like you do something, like you start a business, you go to school, continue your education. Or like they were like, either create a nation inside the United States that's completely separate and don't rely on the white man or bow to the white man anymore, or let's just all go back and create a nation better. Like, they literally wanted to just leave and go back to Africa.
You know, and I think like that made me think about EBT and stuff about our government. It's like, that's like the exact thing that the Nation of Islam doesn't want. is black right. people relying on
right.
white people.
Right.
And like that is the fucking crutch right. that fucking just breeds society. And
you know, what's so weird though, too, is like a bunch of white trash ass racists like, get them out of here, send them back to Africa. And they're like, we want to go back to Africa. Like, what the fuck was the fight right. about?
Yeah.
At why the time,
not? Right. Why not?
Right.
Hop a boat and yeah. fucking there you go.
Yeah. So, but the thing
it's
is,
because
like,
I almost think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I understand you want your culture and everything.
And
like
I mean,
that,
a lot of people did move to yeah. Africa.
I mean after the Civil War, like, it's something you learn if you study it. They don't really tell you that, but a lot of the black slaves mm-hmm. actually went back to Africa. Right. There wasn't a whole lot left here.
Right.
You know, and so, like, that's the funny argument that there wasn't a whole lot of slaves
they
left.
They didn't have the means to they leave, did go though, back, but it's you know, funny. Like, I guess, I don't know, labor and the... Like white people acted like they didn't want him here and then totally needed him. It's like, you know,
yeah,
any type
it's a
of
weird,
immigration
yeah,
thing. Yeah.
It's yeah. a weird thing.
So he ends up siding with this and this sort of radicalized black Islamic group, basically. And again, like, and it might be different now, but when I came up in the 80s and 90s and lived back east, like it was pretty much like even especially in hip hop and like if you were a black actor or if you were in hip hop or something and you were on the East Coast, like you kind of it was almost
you
like,
had to embrace it
was almost racketeering.
Yeah.
Like you would like once you became famous, the Nation of Islam would show up and say, we're going to send men to be your bodyguards.
The Illuminati. Right?
And you yeah. do not want us to not send the, like these men will protect you for this much money per month. And you do not want to go without their protection. If right. you know what I mean.
Well, it's because they'll kill you.
Exactly.
Like, so a yeah, lot so it's of the Blackenati.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So back east, like the Nation of Islam, at least back then they might still, but back in the '80s and nineties, they were a very, very powerful force on the East Coast in any like even the East Coast, West Coast rap, like that whole thing, like the Nation of Islam would have been supporting the East Side, like the whole like it was a big organization. And I don't know if it's still as big or if it's still as prominent. Louis Farrakhan is the one who's in charge of it now, who may or may not have killed,
yeah,
you know, Malcolm X. But so it's a deep group. It's a very deep group. And at the time it wasn't, like we said, 400 people. So he writes Elijah Muhammad in 1948. He writes back and basically says, you need to renounce your past. You need to drop to your knees and pray to God. And he even said he had a really hard time. It took him a long time to do it because he said he didn't want to drop. You know, I'm not going to drop on my knees for any man.
Right. And his siblings were writing him too and visiting him and like right. preaching about the Nation of Islam too. Like his sister and some of his siblings mm-hmm. were telling him like, stop eating pork. Don't smoke cigarettes. Like, we'll help you get out of jail, basically. Right.
Basically,
if yeah. you do these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was at the same time, the guy he met was kind of enforcing that.
Right. So he gets out. Shortly thereafter, Elijah Muhammad, who's in charge of the Nation of Islam, ends up putting him in charge of two different mosques, Malcolm X. He changes his name to Malcolm X and does the whole thing. And in the time,
kind of crazy. It just comes out and he's the boss. He just was so commanding as far as speech. They said that he just has prominence, like his height. They said he was strongly built and he had a commanding presence.
Mm-hmm. And it's not surprising. I mean, one of the things that I read was that when he joined the church, there were 400 members in it. And,
there's a lot of
conflicting numbers, but in 1952, a couple of the sources I read said that there were 400 members in the church in 1952. By 1960, pretty much because of Malcolm X, there were 40,000 members.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he should get a raise.
Yeah. I mean, and again, Elijah Muhammad was no fool. He got to know this guy and he was like, holy shit, this guy's our mouthpiece. Like, this is the fucking guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to put us on the map. And he did. Like, everything the Nation of Islam became, they wouldn't have become if it wasn't for Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Like, he was really
Do we know how big it is today? I do not know how
big it is.
I know that it's on the news and stuff. Yeah. And they talk about the Nation of Islam and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I'll look it up.
So he ends up going through this. He ends up getting married. He marries Betty Sanders, who, after they get married, of course, actually changes her name to Betty X. They have six daughters together. And even the courtship, and again, even the movie does a good job of showing this, the courtship, like they couldn't just go on a date because that wasn't the way it worked. The Nation of
Church,
Islam,
yeah, you know how to do
you
that.
Had to like see each other at social events. So they got to know each other and fell in love like at church events and doing
to the point know. That they didn't really get to discuss it because they were always in a public setting. So right. he just kept inviting her on these like talks and tours and she would mm-hmm. show up every time he spoke. And then finally he was just like, he got on the payphone and called her and was like, she answered, she worked at a hospital or something, answered. He was just like, will you marry me? She's like, yes, boom. 2 days later, they were married.
Right.
They both knew it, but they couldn't really,
right.
they were yeah. never alone to even right. discuss it right. to the point that he like, they weren't in a relationship, but he proposed.
Yeah.
That's yeah. that's yeah. insane. Yeah.
Who is Sophia?
What's that?
Who's that?
Betty's. His wife, Betty. Oh, Betty. Betty X. Yeah.
So what really puts him on the scene and gives him a lot of national prominence was the case of a guy named Hinton Johnson. So Hinton Johnson in 1957 was a member of the Nation of Islam in New York City. And on April 26th, 1957, Johnson and two passersby, we haven't seen dude two, passerby.
Yeah. Two dude passerbyers.
It must have been him and his brother.
Yeah.
Guy passerby.
Or dudette passerby.
It could have been. It didn't specify.
Yeah.
So two Johnson and two passerbys basically walk by a member of the Nation of Islam being beaten with nightsticks by cops. And they run up to try to stop the violence. And one of them screams.
What was the date? April 26th?
April 26th.
That's the same date as Rodney King's beating.
Was it
I only
really?
Know because of Sublime lyrics.
That's crazy.
It's April 26th, 1992. There was wow. a riot on the streets. Well, tell me where you. How weird is that?
Yeah, that yeah. is. So at 19, yeah, that is weird. Very, or is it?
Yeah, it know. Might not be. It might have been a setup.
So basically, as soon as they try to interject, they scream to the cops, you're not in Alabama, this is New York. And the cops turn their attention to them and whoop their ass. And Hinton Johnson oh, yeah. ends up going to the hospital. Multiple, like his brain is hemorrhaging. Like no one thinks he's even going to pull through.
And they just stick him in a cell. No yeah. medical attention.
Yep, stick him in a cell. No medical attention. And again, this is pretty indicative of the culture at the time,
right?
You know, and I mean, I know, you know, all the Black Lives Matter stuff that's going on right now and some fucked up shit still happens. It wasn't nearly on the scale that we're talking in right. 1957, 1960. And this is what they're fighting against.
Right. And right? then there's like kind of a mob forming about it. And there's like a mm-hmm. call to action, basically kind of calling them out saying, what are the Muslims going to do? What are you going to do? Go give a speech.
Right.
And I'm going to go to speech. So it kind of puts him in a position where he's like, no, you know what? I am going to fucking do something. And they march down to the police station.
4,000.
Yeah. Well, it starts out smaller. It's, I don't know how it really went down, but he just starts walking mm-hmm. with like the Brothers of Islam. And then the fucking people just start walking
like
with
Forrest
him.
Gump.
Yeah, yeah. They just start walking behind him. And then they get out there and there's a crowd of like, I think 500 people at that point that he enters the police station and he demands to see him. He's like, it's family. If you're not his lawyer and you're not family, then you're not going to see him. He's like, well, as long as they're outside and you know, I'm going to stay here too. And then finally, after some deliberation, they let him see him. Like, fuck, he would die
yeah.
if I hadn't come in here.
Right.
We need an ambulance, you know? So right. they get him an ambulance.
Right.
And then he gets medical attention and saved and everything, but they still refuse to release him on a bail. They organize, like, I think two of the guys get out or something, but they mm-hmm. refuse to release the guy that they beat the super shit out of.
Right.
I don't know why. And he realizes that, at this point there's 4,000 people outside and he doesn't want to riot. He mm-hmm. wants, and he walks outside and just fucking hand gestures like to all the people in the yeah. crowd, like a thumb to the left, like fucking some kind of Roman you know, gladiator shit. Right. And they all quietly just disassemble and yeah. march away. And it's like a quote. I saw it in the movie, but it's uh-huh. real. Like
yeah.
one of the police officers said, like, that's too much power yeah. for any
no one man should yeah. have that much power.
Yeah. And it's yeah. like a real fucking quote.
And this, I mean, it makes national news. This is what really puts Malcolm X on his A game.
Right.
And from this point, he starts getting tons of interviews, starts doing all this stuff.
And
this,
the police are watching his ass at yeah. this point. Yeah.
And the FBI opens a file on him.
That's because he wrote a letter to the president yeah. and said some shit. And they yeah. thought maybe he's part of the Communist Party or something. So they open a file on him. And then he sends, nothing happens. There's no recourse to the police officers or something, I think. And, or is that later? That's the other thing. That's the mosque.
Well, at this point, though, because of what he did, the police start having like undercover operatives on him and the Nation of Islam.
Right.
They're like, holy fuck.
Yeah, they start
watching.
They're
in our
him.
City. Like, this is a big deal. And they start really kind of watching what's going on.
Later, there's like a mosque fucking attack or something. And that's when they actually start trying to infiltrate their group and whatnot, and they put undercover agents following him. I think right. at this point they're just
was
like
that the one in LA?
Yeah. It's where the cop gets shot in the elbow by the other cop.
So 1961, Los Angeles, another big event. There were violent confrontations between the Nation of Islam members and police in, of all places, South Central LA. A bunch of the people from the Nation were arrested, and it sort of ramps things up. By 1962, April 27th, not quite.
I was just going to say, weird.
But there's like a riot. Goes down at the end of
April. But the riot didn't break out probably till that day, right?
It's just April. I was born at the end of April.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Shit's going down.
Yeah, shit's going down.
That was a riot in your mom's crotch.
It was.
Came out kicking and screaming.
Not the first one.
Crabs were fighting. It was like a coliseum of crabs.
To the death.
I think that's what they call it. It's like a murder of crows, a coliseum of crabs.
Yeah, people, I've been fighting since birth, you know? Like, true, yeah.
You like crab legs?
No, I don't.
Okay.
That's offensive.
A little too close to home.
That was Brad's first time on stage. Those were different curtains.
I was kind of reading some stuff. Like he had the relationship with Hill Girl Laura, right? Did you guys mention her?
No.
So that's a tongue twister. Hill Girl Laura. And I was thinking Lauren Hill, right? The rapper, the Fugees, who hates white people. I was like, that's kind of weird. Like Malcolm X had the relationship with the white girl, Hill Girl Laura. And then Lauren Hill, who hates white people.
All the letters are there.
Is a girl.
Yeah. Is a girl.
Black Illuminati strikes.
Kind of like, that's like a roundabout weird thing though. Like, it is like a roundabout the coincidence, weird. Like that. That's strange.
And then that Hodor in Game of Thrones. It's all connected.
Hodor?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's a movie.
Yeah. She was a hoe. There's the dough.
There's the dough. Yeah. So April 27th, 1962.
There was a riot on the street. Tell me where you were.
1962.
I don't know.
Two LAPD officers shoved and beat some Muslims outside of Temple Number 27. And a large crowd gathers and the cops freak out. Like Brent said, one cop shoots the other cop in the elbow. Like fucking Keystone Cops.
That's like, the problem with these type of situations. Like they shove them. Like human emotion, there's no separation. Like you're not going to get 70 cops not get mob mentality and angry when like those black people got one of the cops' guns. They showed up strong and like whooped everyone's ass and killed 7 people.
Right.
There was no way that they would get there and just use the force necessary to defuse the situation. It just doesn't happen. And in Canada, it does.
The Rodney King thing, I don't know where you got that. His arrest, they were beating him on his arrest March 3rd, 1991.
26, 1992. I don't know. I'll look it up later, I guess.
So yeah, the cops, 70 cops show up, huge crowd, the cops open fire, and again, how do you quell, I mean, what do you do? There's a fucking riot forming all around you, your cops, they're disarming cops, guns are firing, shit's going to escalate very fucking quickly. And it does. 7 people end up getting shot. One of them is shot in the back while he's holding his hands above his head.
He was a Korean War vet or something too. Yeah.
So all kinds of shit.
It was April 29th, 1992.
April 29th, 1992. That's the LA riots. But yeah, it's weird. It says March 3rd, 1981 was.
Oh, that must be when he got beaten. But then the trial
riots started. The triots.
So the trial
started and everything. Yeah. The triots.
So
the person screaming on their couch just calmed the fuck down.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, it's not March. No, Brad got it wrong too.
No, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No.
So at this point, Malcolm X is like really ramping up his violent approach. And when all this happens and these 7 people get shot, he basically demands action. And he wants to gather up the most hardcore members of the Nation of Islam to attack the police. Like he just wants to go to war with the LAPD.
Yeah. That wasn't going to work out.
And Elijah Muhammad is
city
like,
in
nope,
flames. Yeah.
You are not doing that.
They said he was going back to his like gangster roots.
Right. Right. Yeah. And one of the things that really, again, sparked some stuff on this, and you can see a couple of interviews of this, is shortly after all this happened, there was a plane crash in France and 130 people on the plane, all dead. And apparently a ton of them. I guess it was probably flying to
Georgia. They were white,
Georgia.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
120 people from Georgia died on the plane. And in an interview, Malcolm X basically said, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he paraphrased and said, this was God's will. Like, if you're going to kill 7 black people, God's going to demand justice on the other side.
Tenfold.
And this is what he did. And like at the end of the comment, he says something like, and I'm looking forward to God declaring many more such instances of justice.
Right.
You know, basically saying, I hope a whole lot more white people die in plane crashes.
And then there's outrage because he says it.
And then there's outrage. And one of the interviews I saw, it's fucking gangster. He's just cool as a cucumber. And they're like calling him out on it in an interview and saying, how could you say that? And he basically says, well, you know, last week, the Reverend Billy Graham came out and said that this plane crashed because it was God's will, and everybody embraced it and thought it was great. But as soon as I say it, everybody flips their lids because
he also I'm didn't black follow with white. "I hope for many more."
That's true, yeah.
But, and many more.
But and again, this ramps it up. This is really when tension starts to rise between him and the peaceful, side of civil rights, because he's wanting to fucking get the most violent Nation of Islam people in the country to go to war with the LAPD. And Martin Luther King is like, you want to fucking do what now?
Yeah.
Like, please do not do that. Yeah. Like,
what, and he's against the civil rights movement. He's doing the opposite of what everyone else wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And he gets in trouble after Kennedy gets assassinated. Did you see what he said about that?
Yeah, I said it was like hens coming home to roost or something.
He said it was chicken. He said, they said, what do you think of it? And he said, well, chickens come home to roost. And like implying this guy did so much fucked up shit.
What goes around comes around, exactly, is what he's saying. Yeah. Like, he's like, that didn't make me sad. That makes me glad when what comes around goes around. Like, exactly. If someone does something bad should happen to them. And that's basically his reaction to Kennedy's assassination.
And again, but then in the same quote, which again shows why he was such a polarizing figure, even for blacks, because in the same exact breath where he just dissed President Kennedy right after he got shot, the nation's in mourning. Who the fuck is going to go
even
up?
Even the Nation
that?
Of Islam, like, addresses it like, and yeah. And apologizes on behalf of the Nation of Islam. They the apology.
In the same comment, though, Medgar Evers, who was a huge peaceful civil rights activist who had just been assassinated, he said, chickens come home to roost with Medgar Evers. Mm-hmm. He said chickens came home to roost with the Birmingham bombings, where they blew up churches and killed mm-hmm. peaceful demonstrators. He was like, this is all examples of chickens coming home to roost. If you're trying to do a peaceful protest and mm-hmm. you got killed, that's what's fucking coming to you.
Yeah.
If you're the fucking president of the White Devils and you got killed, that's what's coming. So even that statement, like the Nation of Islam and a whole lot of black supporters were like,
it's like all things equal. Yeah. Cause right. He's being fair on both sides.
Right. So, but that did not gain him any.
No, he got points. Like demoted from his position mm-hmm. in the State of Islam or the Nation of Islam, and like banned from talking for 90 days or something. They silenced him.
And this is really kind of the beginning of the end, because in the same exact year is where he discovers that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the Nation of Islam, is having an affair with multiple underage
girls. Are pregnant. Yeah. Underage girls are pregnant with his child.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Nation of Islam. So, and again, looking at all the stuff that Malcolm did to follow the rules of the Nation of Islam in courting his wife and not even like going on a date with her. And then the leader of the church is impregnating underage girls. This really fucking.
Yeah. When the person that you totally believe in and follow every cue is a hypocrite. And then goes to justify it with some kind of weird biblical prophecy talk, like all fucking preacher status.
Yeah.
Like you do when you get to be the
cult leader.
He was only in charge of 400 people. Now he's in charge of 40,000 people. Right. And he's like, I'm fucking some bitches. I'm in charge of 40,000 people.
Right.
Gets girls pregnant and then just says that his seed must carry on or something. Yeah. That basically, like, he had to impregnate those girls because when he dies, there won't be a successor. It had to be from the bloodline.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and so I looked up the numbers on Nation of Islam. It is between 20 and 50,000. Huge gap in how many there are.
Right.
No. But 20 to 50,000. Yeah, that was like in 2007. So I think it kind of fluctuates, but it's still kind of the same.
That's still a trip, though, that so, I mean, his charisma and his influence grew made it. That explosion right. happen at the beginning, and then it's kind of flattened out once he's removed from it. So in 1964, there's a permanent rift between him and the church. He leaves the church. He's not a member of the Nation of Islam anymore. I'm sure it was as much his desire as theirs, because he's more and more.
I think they were already like threatening him or something. Right. I think one of the leaders of the church said, "Hey, they told me to blow up your fucking car, dude."
Right.
And he was just like, "All right, I'm out. Yeah. I'm doing my own thing."
Like I said, back East, people were afraid of the Nation of Islam because they do not fuck around. So, and at this point he goes on a Hajj. He ends up going on a tour through Africa and goes to the Middle East. And I even saw an interview. He had to like, and I'm sure it's probably still this way largely, but at the time it was much even more restricted. Like a Hajj is a holy pilgrimage to Mecca, and you can't go to Mecca unless you're a Muslim.
Right.
And unless you live from certain countries, you're not allowed in unless you go through some tribunal and get interviewed and do all this stuff. And he even said in the interview, like, that tribunal is almost impossible to pass. But since I had gained a lot of fame,
he was known. Yeah.
They basically let me in. So he even said, like, I wouldn't have gotten into Mecca myself if it wasn't for my fame. But once he did that, it really kind of changed him. He goes to Mecca and he sees basically what I think a lot of people in the Islamic faith would kind of say. He sees the true Islam. He doesn't see like the racist, anti-white, white devil, you know, black power Islam. He sees a different side of Islam and realizes, oh fuck, Elijah Muhammad's just been fucking with all of us, you know, back in the States. This is not what Islam is about.
Yeah. It was the black power twist.
Exactly.
On Islam.
Exactly.
That's all it was.
Right.
Well, and I mean, they kind of couldn't really go in peacefully like that, you know, like it didn't really work out either way. I mean, you know, so it wasn't working out peacefully, you know, there was peaceful protests, there was all that stuff. So what's the other flip on it? Go violent, you know, and there are people like that, you know, like some people want peace, you know,
Black
some
Panthers
people want
wanted
violence.
There were a lot of groups that wanted,
I mean, black people are violent.
If in your life, because if in your lifetime, you're the one that's being treated that way, you're not like,
the only way
I'll patiently wait for you to keep fuck with me at the grocery store.
Yeah. Stop beating me, sir. Isn't going to work.
No. Yeah. Maybe if I'm patient, you'll be nice to my kids and I'll have a shitty life, but maybe my kids will have a better life. It's hard to sit and deal with that. I'm fucking sure.
Well, if I put myself in the shoes of a black person in the fucking 30s or something, you know what I mean? Like, and you have kids, like say, you know, and you see somebody treat your, think if you saw somebody treat your kids shitty now, regardless of race, like they're just treating them shitty, you're going to be fucking
and then the
violent.
Fear, but the fear, you know what I mean? Like, but the fear of the fallout to make you repress it.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And so that just fucking builds.
Right. So I do some shit and then they come back and fuck with us even more. Yeah. Like,
So power is, you know, is in numbers, you know, strength is in numbers. So what
and
do you
it
do? Even,
and again, that speaks of the character of both Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. I mean, he has six daughters and he's saying this shit on TV and now he's pissed off all the white people and he's pissed off the Nation of Islam, and he still doesn't stop, you know, and he comes back and he's even more against the Nation of Islam now, you know, with evidence that, you know, this is a distortion of Islamic beliefs and we should. So it's another fucking thumb in the eye of Elijah Muhammad that he comes back and says, this isn't even what Islam is all about. And then things are getting even worse, you know?
Yeah.
So through 1964, even more problems. Like you said, this was the year in February of 1964 is when a member of one of his previous Temple Number 7, it was the first temple that Malcolm X was in charge of, basically says, they told us to blow up your car.
Yeah.
I think they burned his house down, if I remember right.
I don't know if that happened yet. I was too worried about dates. On Gary Coleman's birthday, he addressed his first meeting to the council.
Just gotta put that out
there. Saying.
You know what I was thinking? Like, he's almost like if he was in a different place, maybe a different country, he's like fucking Black Hitler. Like, this guy is fucking out to make blacks top race.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm sure if 40,000 became 80,000 became, you know, 160.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It wouldn't
like,
have happened.
No. Yeah, because he goes on to say there's no prominent black people in Brazil. Like, he's looking at the world and saying, like, no, black people need to be, you know, dominant in the world. You know, so he's literally like small scale Black Hitler at this point. You know what I mean? Violence. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's
instead of saying,
all about
if,
helping
if Hitler
his people,
had won, we'd all be speaking German. If Malcolm had won, we'd all be speaking pimp jabber.
Yeah. Yeah, doggy.
Just like the movie Airplane.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, if history had been different.
And one of the, it's like one of the reasons I kept watching those fucking interview clips. One of the reasons I kept watching the interview clips of Malcolm X is because it's always him and some white guy who has a show. And the white guy who has a show is trying to outthink him and put him on the spot and throw his own words back in his face. And it's just epic fail after epic fail.
Oh, yeah.
Like he just fucking talks circles around him. And even though I'm like, there's, it's just, I don't believe what you're saying right now, Malcolm X, you completely fucking won.
Yeah.
Like you just win every time.
Have you seen
time.
The dude, the salesman on the porch? That fucking young black kid that just fucking kills it. That kid better be famous wherever the fuck he's at. I should find out where that kid's at.
And
he's trying to sell like this cleaner shit.
Oh, that,
and the dad keeps
a good
saying
one.
No.
Yeah.
And that dude's got a fucking line and a spin everything. He's hilarious.
Well, and he's even like, this is where things get like crazy for me. Like in politics, like he's against the Democrats at that point. The Democrats were like the Republicans now.
I'm just kidding. We don't talk politics on this show.
No, I know. I'm not talking politics. I'm just saying like what he was against. Like it's kind of weird because he has some quotes and sayings like talking shit on the Democrats, which it's weird because everything's flipped the script now. You know what I mean? Like, So what fucking really is going on? You know?
And I even read one really weird article that was talking about the fact that one of the, I forget the guy's name, some fucking white supremacist guy who was like really influential in the South ended up going to watch Malcolm X speak several times because Malcolm X had so many bad things to say about Jews.
Yeah.
And so the Nazi would go to Malcolm X black rallies to like take notes and come back with all this good shit to go back and say.
Wow. Yeah, they're just like lining out their speeches. Like, yeah, fuck the Jews. Yeah. Malcolm X did say he had nothing against the Jews except for that they were contradictory to what they kind of believe. Like there was some weird shit that went on with them. So he did go and talk shit about them, but then he was like, I really don't have a problem with them except for they're just kind of like, kind of backwards, he thought.
Right.
Like, so I don't know. It's kind of weird.
So in March of 1964, a Boston minister named Louis X.
Fuck yeah. Can we just change our names to X?
I got to go with M, who ultimately becomes Louis Farrakhan, who's the current head of the Nation of Islam, said, quote, hypocrites like Malcolm should have their heads cut off.
And they released a comic book.
Yeah, they released
a
cartoon in their newspaper, which Malcolm X founded, of Malcolm X having his head cut off and bouncing down the street. So it's like, I mean.
Them's fighting words, man.
Things are flipping. Yeah, things are flipping. This is another black man, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
On June 8th of 1964, June 8th being my birthday.
Ooh. This has a lot of coincidences.
Let me throw this out there. June 8th, 1964. In a phone call with, at this point, by the way, they changed their name. When he gets back, his name is no longer Malcolm X. His name is Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz.
Davis.
Because part of going
that's
on
from
the
a Candyman
Hajj,
album, just so you know.
Okay.
You going know on Candyman? A pilgrimage.
No.
Knocking Boots?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
There was a skit track too. He's on Muhammad Malik Abdul Shabazz Davis. And I didn't have no meaning to me Shabazz. until right now. Yeah.
Okay.
That's from that album.
So Malik El-Shabazz, and again, that was one of the things, if people go on a Hajj, they usually come back with an Islamic name.
Yeah.
Cassius Clay went on a Hajj and came back as Muhammad Ali. Like this is all part of it. But so his wife, who is...
Isn't that the movie that Sinbad was in, Shabazz?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was the genie.
That's right. Yeah. So Betty Shabazz ended up saying that she got a phone call. She recorded a phone call on June 8th. That was just someone calling to say, because they were constantly getting
motherfuckers
telephone
are
death
like,
threats.
Call, like recording calls like crazy. Nixon, all kinds of shit. Like back
and
in
they
the
just,
day.
They said that, you know, they just called and said, your husband's as good as dead and hung up the phone.
Brent gets
and
those
then
calls.
4 days later, an FBI informant.
I saw you in your kitchen.
That's right.
Eating really peanut embarrassed. Butter. Yeah. My face turns red. And I'm like, it's embarrassing. And I hang up the phone.
But the FBI got information. they got a tip that Malcolm X was going to get bumped off.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. Rubbed off. everything is just going on. Yeah. So at this time, that same month, the Nation of Islam,
they evict him from their own house.
It's weird. They get evacuated from their house.
Because they owned it. The Nation of Islam, that's how he had that house.
Right. That's right.
So they sue him for his house back. They said, give us the house back.
They're just fucking him.
They go
now.
To kick him out, but then they burn the motherfucker down before the court date the night before. That's when it burned down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and it was like flashback from when he was little. It was like the same thing that happened to
exactly.
him.
So on February 19th of 1965, Malcolm X told an interviewer, "The Nation of Islam is currently actively trying to kill me." That was on February 19th. On February 21st, he was getting ready to give a speech at the Audubon Ballroom, 400 people in there, and someone jumps up and screams, "Nigger, get your hand out of my pocket," and a bunch of people open fire on him.
Right.
February.
I was trying to figure out, I looked it up a little bit, but there was kind of some like, there was different answers, but I was like, is that a term? Like, is that something? Is that just a distraction? Did that have something to do with like that's my money or you're interfering or your hands in my pocket kind of thing?
Right.
What I read was it was like a way to test security, and it was just a random phrase that if they yelled it and no one really paid attention, they knew security was loose. You know what I mean? Like,
get your hand out of my pocket, job sucker.
Yeah, did five guys run over and tackle the guy? Like, whoa, what's going on? There's a situation here. But like nothing really happened. So then he threw a smoke bomb. A dude pulls out a shotgun, shoots him in the chest, and then like a bunch of other dudes rush to the stage.
Yeah, someone shoots him with a shotgun. Times. Two other guys with handguns. He shot 21 times to the chest, left shoulder, arms, and legs. 10 buckshot wounds from the
all
shotgun
those shots
blast.
Were in self-defense, by the way.
That's right. Yes, they were.
Swamp gas did it.
The cops start beating people who were attending the speech.
The crazier part was like the people whooped one of the dude's ass before the cops even got there. Like, they got one of the fucking guys that was shooting. They whooped his ass.
Did you guys see the thing on, I don't know what, I forget, it was CNN or ABC News or one of the big night.
There were letters like involved movie, for sure.
No, they asked Richard, or what was his name? Zimmerman. They asked Zimmerman if he could go back in time and do one thing. He said he would be at that event to shoot Malcolm X is what he said.
Damn. Maybe he did.
You fucking know.
Huh?
You're fucking
I don't know.
I was just instantly
making waves. I was like,
I was
fuck.
Just instantly.
Everybody believed it. Like, yeah, you're like, huh?
I was just wondering that makes if sense. You did get a time machine and do it.
I don't know. That magic laptop you have over there could be anything.
So,
facts, he's looking fiction, it up.
I don't facts. Know.
The
Brad has facts.
There's multiple conspiracies abound of who killed him and for what reason.
Well, the Nation of Islam, obviously, because he said they were actively trying to kill him.
Right. But so, and that's what his
there's
family
a bunch of
still
weird
says.
Thing, though. Yeah,
no, there is. There's a bunch of weird things. And who else was involved? Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things is one of the people who was there said that the cops just came strolling in.
Like whistling and kicking dirt,
like completely
casual, with their hands in their pocket.
There was just, literally with their hands in their pocket. But like there's gunshots happening in this ballroom. And minutes later, the cops just casually walked in. They're not trying to arrest anybody.
No guns
they don't have their
because,
guns out.
It's because they killed Malcolm X. Like, and they don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
No, but
like,
that would still be an active threat.
Yeah, exactly. There's still people with guns. Like, you would think you'd fucking storm in worrying about your... So it's like they even knew, like, there's no... It seems like they knew there was no threat to them.
Maybe the Nation of Islam told
exactly.
the police department.
That's what
like,
people
hey,
think, yeah.
Yeah, hey, look.
I read it. 12 other churches in town, they were running drills for Malcolm X assassinations.
It didn't really happen at that church. It was another one like right down the road, miles.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, they're having a drill.
No actual security.
Yeah, if you look at the aerial views of what happened and the crisis actors.
All the surrounding officers had been sent really far away.
It's all part of it. Mm-hmm. But even it gets weird. Like there's a whole thing about the FBI. So in the 1970s, documents came out about COINTELPRO, which was where the FBI was sending people to infiltrate various radical groups and so forth.
Trying to keep the black man down.
Which at that time, like JFK, you know, everything else, like the FBI is kind of involved in
absolutely.
Fucking killing
all
a
kinds,
lot of people.
Yeah, a lot. So
like, they're like,
they're good now.
Assassins.
There's no fuckery around.
No.
But no, so here's the thing.
Waco
so,
was their last.
Yeah, like, yeah they've been good thing. Ever since then. So there was,
they actually got a medal.
There was a guy named John Ali, who was the national secretary of the Nation of Islam and a close personal associate of Malcolm X. And it turned out that he was a member of the COINTELPRO investigation. He was on the, he was either a Fed or on the Fed's payroll, investigating the Nation of Islam and infiltrating it, obviously, not just investigating. I mean, he was the freaking national treasurer for the whole group. Malcolm X basically said to a couple of reporters shortly before his death that even though no one at the time knew John Ali had anything to do with COINTELPRO, this was years before it came out,
right.
But he accused this guy of being the guy that was stirring up all this shit between him and Elijah Muhammad,
right.
And putting him in the Nation of Islam at war. He was
exaggerating it, basically, yeah.
Yeah. And
he's like, you heard what Elijah said?
Apparently,
your mom has sex with mules.
The night before the killing of Malcolm X, he ended up, John Ali met with the guy named Talmadge Hyre, who was one of the guys who was arrested for shooting him.
Right.
So there's even evidence that the night before the assassination, he met with one of the gunmen.
There's some weirdness with the allegations. Like, the people claimed innocence, though. And like converted to Sunni Islam and shit and maintained their innocence. All the way through their prison sentence. They're like, no, I'm innocent. Right.
So it's, I don't know. It's the whole thing is weird. The Shabazz family still thinks that it's Louis Farrakhan.
All right.
You love me?
No, I was saying I got the name of the human. It's What's for Donner.
Ah.
Oh, nice.
Scott Martin.
I thought you were saying titties were okay, basically. Based on that gesture, if we're playing charades, titties are okay, is what I would have guessed.
Scott and Leanne Martin got the shirt.
Nice. Thank you for the shirt.
That was a deep.
I just had to pop in. I got it, though. Yeah, I dug. I dug. I did have to dig.
Apparently, that's impressive.
Yeah, that was impressive.
I did.
And Louis Farrakhan at the time, in various interviews, was saying that
they're Malcolm also X divorced got what he did. That's the bad news.
Malcolm X got what he deserved, according to Louis Farrakhan. And Farrakhan has even admitted, like, he never said I ordered a hit on Malcolm X, but he has said multiple times, my words are directly responsible for the death of Malcolm X.
Right.
And he's currently still, like, after Elijah Muhammad died. And again, if there wasn't that rift, Elijah Muhammad would have died and Malcolm X would have been in charge of the Nation of Islam. And Lord knows how big it would have gotten. But since he ended up being muscled out, and you have to wonder, was Louis Farrakhan muscling him out because he wanted the control and he wouldn't have had a chance?
That's what you do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The only way to push back power is with more power.
Right, right.
Malcolm X.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. So that's the
who got the juice now. That's actually where that phrase came from.
Who got the juice now?
Just utilized it.
So that is the story of Malcolm X. I recommend everybody.
There's a lot more. It's so insane. Much.
It's a deep tale. I highly recommend that movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember being very impressed by the Malcolm X movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, set aside fucking 3.5 hours.
It's kind of funny. Like, I kind of want to read the book, like, but I'm like not sure. Like, it's like you
don't want to program yourself.
Well, no. Like, I literally could take his quotes and just kind of change them, and I'm like, damn, I fuck. Can feel that, you know what I mean? Like, instead of just being the white man's the devil, you know, it's like you just change it to fit what society is now, which the white man's the devil.
King, I had a dream. Yeah. I had diarrhea. If you just change it, if it's in the situation, you just change it.
I had a pizza. Yeah. Like, the whole, you know, it all works. But I mean, it's like you can look at things that Che Guevara said.
Thou shalt kill, thou shalt not kill.
Exactly. Yeah.
Simple change of a things, it makes it work for you.
If you make it more broadly applied to anyone who's being oppressed,
right,
then his words are impressive for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you're the white devil, then maybe
it's like,
not so
it's like song lyrics during a breakup. It just speaks to you. Doesn't
That's
even
right.
Matter. Yeah.
That's right.
At the car wash.
I recommend watching that movie. I recommend watching some clips of him getting interviewed and talking, so you can just kind of see the amount of power.
See Obama's dad.
You can see Obama's dad. And you'll see that Obama connection.
Yeah.
But he's a very interesting guy. It's very easy to get behind a lot of what he said, and it's very easy to be repulsed by a lot of what he said. But he's a very, very interesting figure in the crusade for black rights.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yep.
I think so.
Time for sponsors.
Yeah.
Keel Whitey.
Wow. That's how you go out.
He was also a big sponsor of El Yucateco Black Rights.
Oh.
Which is my favorite.
El Yucateco Black Sauce.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, actually, to El Yucateco and Sarah and Sam from El Yucateco, the sauce bosses.
Yeah.
They showed up in Kansas City and we had a good time.
Well, Sam's tag along, but Sam, I actually like Sam a little better than Sarah.
Yeah. I told them that you wouldn't stop talking about it when we went to sleep. He was just like babbling on about Sam this, Sam that, Sam this, Sam so cool, Sam so funny. And I was just like, fuck, go find his room, knock on the door. Let's just go to sleep, Brad. Jesus Christ.
I did. Why do you think I was so tired in the morning?
I was fucking delirious. I was like almost talking my sleep to Brad. I was all saying fucking mushroom trips.
After the rape and then the consensual sex with Sam, I was fucking tired.
Yeah. But no, I was like, we were so tired that I was seeing things like every time I closed my eyes.
Brent's like, oh my God, I'm hallucinating right now. I'm like, I'm trying to go to fucking sleep over here. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
I don't remember what I said. I said,
fucking hallucinating.
I said, I can see shit when I close my eyes, man. I was like, it's like a Minecraft map or something fucking weird. And all of a sudden this water pipe made a noise. And I was like half in and out of it trying to talk to Brad in my sleep. And I was like, what the fuck was that? I know it's a water pipe, but man, it sounded like a fucking spaceship landed in our room. Ellie Cateco hot sauce. Ellie Cateco hot sauce is our sponsor. You can get them at most major grocery stores. Thank you again to Sarah and all of Ellie Cateco for sending out little mini hot sauce keychains. So a bunch of people got those. There's a bunch of those. Saw them hanging out of pockets, man. People were stoked. Yeah. And for the glasses, a lot of the glasses that we gave away and stickers and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can buy Ellie Cateco hot sauce on their website and use code SOFAKING as well as other gear and shirts and stuff they have on there. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can go to printdirtcheap.com and buy printed goods, stickers, banners, all kinds of stuff.
Things
that are printed. And you can use our code.
Stuff?
Yeah. Once again, stuff and things.
It's mostly stuff and things.
Yeah.
It's order of operations. It's like putting peanut butter and jelly on the outside of the bread. Yeah. It doesn't
work. You don't do jelly peanut butter.
You have to do it the other way. Your hands get messy.
Peanut butter sandwich. That's weird.
You can use code SOFAKING to save some money. Thank you to Daily Own Graphics for our screen printing stuff. You could find them on social media, but it wouldn't help you at all. Thank you to Digital Creations. They do photo gifts and heat transfer items. Mm-hmm. You can get one-offs from them, t-shirts.
Dick pillows,
dick blankets.
Dick shirts. Dick mugs.
Basic bitch. Dick bottles.
Dick bottles.
Dick Cheney's.
Dick keychains. We call them Dick Cheney's. I mean, all of your dick accessories. Yeah,
but if you do order a dick themed item, just make sure that you're doing it for grandma.
Yeah.
Because that's all Dave asks. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, you could do tranny grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a cardboard cutout. Tranny
as long
grandma.
As it's for her.
I mean, Printer Jeep could do it too, but you know, they're better if you do multiple.
But you got to buy 24. Yeah. So yeah, but
that would be creepy. You have 24 tranny grandma posties, you know, stand-ups in your house, like just chilling. That would be creepy. I'm just saying. I don't know.
I'm on team.
You're
I'm
like,
on team.
You're like,
since I'm on team, come.
That's true.
I'm bringing down. It's bringing down.
Ting dung. Ting dung's not. Yeah. Team dung's really. That's hard to say. Ting dung chong. Team dung is not on board with it as much. But yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how to speak Ong?
Ong.
Yeah, it's like pig Latin, but it's different.
No.
It's like fake Asian language of some sort. You just add Ong to all the consonants, and then you pronounce the vowel.
Yuang Tuang.
So I'm Bong Rangi Nong Tong.
Bong Rangi Nong Tong.
So
I'm Bong. Yeah. I'm
Bong Rong A Dong.
Bong Rong A Dong? That's me?
Dave is.
How is this coming out so
dong
fast?
A bong,
I think about it.
Dong A Vongi.
Dong A Vongi.
Dong A Vongi. Bong
Rong
A Dong.
Oh, Bong
Rong A Dong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just started some shit. You guys
Bong Rong A Dong. Oh, so I'm Bong Rong A Dong.
Yes.
That's my Bong Rong A Dong.
I today declared an official language.
Tong Yang Rong.
Christ. I'll stick with Ashy Shin.
I like that much better. That's harder to figure out what you're saying, though.
It
we have to program our brain.
It's like you reading picture books. It takes forever, though.
Bong Rong A Dong. Bong Rong A Dong. Tong A Yong. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got it. I'm going to get it. It's good stuff.
Song Yu Kong Kong. Mong Yong.
Uh-huh.
Dong I Kong Kong.
Yeah. I like it.
Everybody will figure that one out. Thank you to...
Not everybody.
A lot of them. Thank you to... where am I at? Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and apparel. You get instructional apparel and DVDs that you can wear.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah. Put your dick through the DVD hole.
Also...
Actually, is this downloadable? I think they're just downloadable.
I think he has DVDs too.
Does he? That's old school. Who has DVDs? Who buys DVDs?
It's an...
But I mean, besides from the $1 or $5 bin at Walmart, like who actually has, I have some DVDs and they're going on my trailer. Cause we go places where you can't get service
now.
Or anything. Yeah. I got a box, but on that note, if you're wondering how to watch us live, support us on Patreon, $10 and more, and you get to watch a live stream. You will be able to hear the audio, but you know, to watch us and see us in all our beauty.
When we do our, you got a little Clinton-y right there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
First black president.
First black president. That's right.
Instagram at SOFKING Podcast, SOFKING Brad, SOFKING Brent, SOFKING Dave, and also at the Captainess _ SK quotes. There's some good quotes in there from the shows. Just reading through them, they're, you know, it's kind of funny.
They're pretty damn good.
Facebook, Sophie King Podcast on Facebook. And also check out the unofficial SK Ultra group by searching unofficial SK Ultra, and it should pop up for you. Go to patreon.com/Sophie King Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. The end of the song episode is Jazz Cartier. How do I get this deep? See you guys next time. Don't be a fucking retard.
Now I'm talking about Koozie man. Yeah. Mama said never take advice from a nigga with no money. This is my world, don't tell me how to run it. Old niggas washed up, Joe Budden got enough to feed and eat. He tell that nigga hold something. New nigga, coupe sicker, pull up in the roof missing. Two bitches, they know a nigga do business. That roof Chris's got maids that'll fry chicken and do dishes. Now they know the wave is out, the face is hot. Watching all the rings I got and chains I cop. Cartier frames and watch, I made a lot. From days had to make the wop to make the drop. Niggas know there comes a time in your life you gotta sacrifice. I'm paralyzed in the parasites when I pantomime. From paradise I plan and shift to paradigm. Drop paranoia and started having the fear of God. Learned a lot about your early 20s. You never full until the glass is empty. We used to round up changes to eat a Wendy's. But shit, I'm trying to count change in the back of Bentley's. All hundreds, no 20s. Fuck rap, I gotta make it as a man. Came out of my depression and I blame it on the fan. The anxiety was killing me. Burned a couple bridges, started drinking past my limit. Then shit got real. Paranoia was a misstep. I still play it back and I skip track. If it's an L, then I hold. But not forever is to get back. Started peeling back layers to my soul. Fuck the fame, I don't even wanna make it as a whole. Suits getting in the way, Koozie had to take control. And from here on out, it's a go.
JLF. Run, 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 run. Stepped in the club, it was crazy.